You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Rabbi Avi Zweibel. He's director of the Chabad Jewish Center of Southern Oregon here in Ashland. On December 14th at 3:45 p.m., the rabbi will light the first candle on a 10-foot-tall menorah on the Ashland Plaza. Welcome to the Exchange, Rabbi.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we're in the holiday season, which means we're immersed in a culture of Christmas traditions, Christmas music, movies, decorative lights, trees, wreaths, gift-giving, and the commercialization of it all, of course. But the Jewish tradition is a celebration of Hanukkah. Tell me about it.
Hanukkah goes back about 2,100 years ago when the Jews were living in Israel and the Syrian Greeks were oppressing the local, you know, people who were living in Israel, the Jewish nation there, and there was just tremendous oppression of freedom of religion. And they finally rebelled against the Syrian Greeks, and miraculously they won. They were a small army against this mighty army, the Syrian Greeks, but they were victorious. And when they came to the temple, the miracle tradition has it that there was a little, only enough oil to light one night of Hanukkah, and the flame lit for 8 nights. And forever since then, we've been celebrating Hanukkah, lighting the menorah, which is a symbolism of light over darkness, of freedom over oppression.
Okay, so I want to go back to that starting point, 2,100 years ago. Tell me the story of the Maccabees and this battle you were talking about.
So the Jews were living in Israel at the time. This is during the era of the Second Temple in Israel. There was two temples.
Okay.
It was about for 420 years the last of the temple. During that period of time, the Syrian Greeks were influencing, trying to Hellenize the Jews in Israel, and not allowing people just to have their own freedom, expression of their own traditions and their own religion.
Now, when you say Hellenize, what does that mean?
Uprooting any kind of self-identity of your own belief systems.
Okay, so Hellen is relating to what they believed?
Exactly, right. Okay. So trying to secularize the Jewish people into their beliefs.
Okay, and so there was this uprising among the Jewish people.
Right.
Now, this story is told in the Book of Maccabees, is it?
Correct.
And so what happened with the Book of Maccabees? It's no longer in the Bible.
So we have the Talmud and so forth, a lot of Jewish, within the Jewish tradition as well, with many sources for the story. But it's really not so much about the miracle of the war, because if you actually notice, the way we celebrate it is lighting the menorah. It's more the focus of the message of the spiritual victory here, of light over darkness.
Okay, so I'm just trying to get the story straight. So we start with the war, they win the war, and then they go back to the temple. And what happens at the temple?
So there's a Jewish daily practice in the temple to light the menorah, which was seven-branched in the temple. And there was all the oil, there was no oil to be found, it was all broken, and they finally found one small jug of oil. Mm-hmm. And it had enough oil to light one candle. And it would take a week to get new oil. And they lit the menorah by miracle. It kept on burning and burning and burning for 8 days till finally they got the new oil.
Okay. And so from that point, this celebration of Hanukkah emerged.
Correct.
What did it look like in its early form?
There was always people lighting the menorah. This is going straight back from the beginning of time. The same practices have been done. Of every night, we start the first night of Hanukkah, and we increase every single night, another candle, till the final night of Hanukkah, we light eight candles of the menorah.
Okay, so there are eight candles, not seven?
Correct.
And does everyone have a menorah, or was it just in the temple at that point?
That was every home.
Every home
every
had
home,
it.
Right.
Okay,
so at that point, the leaders of the Jewish community, the rabbis, instituted that every single home shall light their own menorah.
Oh, okay. So many Protestant Christians are unfamiliar with this story because, you know, the Book of Maccabees was taken out of the Bible back when the split occurred between the Protestants and the Catholics back in 1517. And so they don't really have an understanding of where this source comes from. The source you mentioned was the Talmud. Right?
Correct.
Tell me about the Talmud.
The Talmud is a huge collection of Jewish teachings and traditions over almost a span of 1,000 years. And most of the Jewish practices we do today originate from the Talmud.
So tell me, what's the difference between the Talmud and the Torah?
Well, the Torah is a general term for all Jewish teachings, but more particularly when you say Torah, it can mean the written Torah, the five books of Moses and the prophets and the writings, mm-hmm. the 24 books, as we call it, sacred books, and then the Talmud is the oral teachings.
Okay, you said 24 and 5.
24 is total, correct, yeah.
So the five books of the first five books of the Bible equates to the Torah?
Correct. When you make more specifically, correct.
Okay, and so when you said 24 books, I'm
right. In Jewish tradition, there's 24 sacred books.
Oh, so there's not five, there are 24.
It includes the prophets and the writings.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so I was mixed up.
Sorry about that.
Okay, so the first five books of Moses plus more of the writings of the prophets equals 24.
Correct.
And from there, that becomes the core basis and source
Correct.
Of this material. And from there, you have the Talmud, which I'm assuming are the teachings based on these 24.
Correct.
Okay, so that helps me.
Okay, I'm glad.
I appreciate that. My guest is Rabbi Avi Zweipel. He's director of the Chabad Jewish Center of Southern Oregon. And on December 14th at 3:45 p.m., the rabbi will light the first candle on a 10-foot-tall menorah on the Ashland Plaza. So tell me the importance of the menorah and what it symbolizes.
The menorah symbolizes the idea of light over darkness, of always increasing in light. As dark as the world gets, the darker it gets, the more light we actually have to light. The Torah talk about the Torah. There's a passage in the Torah when the Jews were afflicted and oppressed by the Egyptians. It said, as they were oppressed, so they multiplied. And that's not just a prophecy, but it's also a mandate that the more darkness in the world, the more light we need to increase. And especially in our times now when people are feeling so isolated and afraid, especially, you know, marginalized, there's more of a need for people to come together and to be there as one community as a whole, to feel that message of optimism, of the way to respond to all the hatred is not about fighting the hatred, but about lighting, bringing more positivity into this world.
I love this idea of bringing people together, this
right.
idea of unifying people rather than dividing people.
Correct.
And I just can't help but notice that every holiday season, we're all divided among our beliefs. All the various different celebrations are separate rather than unified. Why is that?
At the core, I believe it's really all one message. It really has to be like a fabric of society. We need all types, all flavors, and that's what makes us who we are. Each one with their own voice.
What I'm hearing you say is that all of these different beliefs are woven together in the fabric of society.
It's important, right, for each one to voice their kind of their voice and their personal tradition. That's what makes it so beautiful.
And then when we find
the tapestry of the whole community coming together.
The tapestry.
Yeah, exactly.
When we find our commonality in that woven tapestry, we then find a way to unify.
Correct.
And come together.
Right.
I love that. So tell me about how the evolution over time of the celebration of Hanukkah has come to pass.
Well, the basics were always there of lighting the menorah.
Yeah.
And over time, there was different foods that were introduced to Hanukkah, like the famous latkes. We call those potato pancakes.
Okay.
It's not in the Talmud. It's not in the Torah. It's not in the book. You know, it's the reason why we eat it is because it has oil. The way we make the potato latkes is we fry with oil, and the holiday is all about the oil, the message of light.
Okay, so when did latkes come into the tradition?
I don't know exactly at what point in history. That's a good question, but it's been there for a long time.
Okay, and what else?
The game of the dreidel, I would say. Yeah.
Tell me about the dreidel.
So the dreidel is that little toy you spin, and the whole game has four different letters, and depends on what letter falls out, and then that's how much you get from the pot. You put some either whatever you put in the middle of the pot, either money or coins or chocolates or candies, whatever you want to put in the middle of the pot, and you spin the dreidel. And whatever falls out, that's either you have to give more or you take it to it's a wonderful, fun game.
Okay, so you're talking to someone who is completely ignorant.
Right.
So
I wish I had a dreidel with me.
Help me understand the game. Now, I understand you have a top with letters on it, and you spin it.
Right.
And then you've got some sort of pot.
Right.
What's in the pot?
Whatever you want to put in, people either could put coins or candies. There's nothing, nothing particular.
So when they spin the dreidel and it lands on a particular letter, who gets what's in the pot?
Right. So when you spin it, there's four letters on each side. And one is, in Hebrew, it's the letter gimel, which means you get the entire pot. The letter hey, which means you get half. And if you get a shin, then you gotta give. And if you get nun, that's the fourth letter, then it's nothing. So you take turns around. Spinning the dreidel.
Oh, it's fun. So you spin and,
whatever
it's a game of luck.
Exactly.
And depending on what happens, you might have to put into the pot.
Right.
Or you might get something out of the pot, or you might get the whole pot.
Right, yeah.
How do you determine, or how has the tradition determined what goes into the pot?
It's not about what goes in the pot. It's more about the shearing and the celebrating. Again, I mean, what I grew up was coins. That's the way I grew up as a kid. Which has a little interesting background about the dreidel, even though it's a wonderful, fun game, brings the family together. The legend has it that during the times of the story of Hanukkah, the Syrian Greeks didn't allow them to study Torah. And they were hiding in these caves and studying Torah because if you were caught studying Torah, you were put to death. It was so what happens when the Syrian Greeks came to check up on what they're doing in these caves? They used to take out these games and these dreidels and start playing as if they're just hanging out in these caves and having a good time.
Okay. So now that ties that together. I was wondering, how does this tie? Okay, so I appreciate that. What are some of the other elements of the Hanukkah celebration?
In general, you think?
Mm-hmm. Today. Modern day Hanukkah celebrations. You've got the latkes, you've got the dreidel. What are some of the other elements?
Then people give also, it's called gelt, like either chocolate coins, people give or give money to the children, mm-hmm. or presents, and there's a beautiful tradition of giving a little bit to the children, some as we call it in Yiddish or Hebrew, gelt, which means money. But the idea behind it as well is to teach the children the importance of charity. So you give them some of the money, here, whatever it may be, a dollar, and you say, you should give some of it to charity, to whatever cause you want to give, and it's a wonderful tradition and message to teach the children. It's not only about taking, but it's about giving.
Okay, so does this happen on every day of the Hanukkah celebration?
Yeah.
Okay, and so the Hanukkah celebration lasts 8 days, is that correct?
Correct.
And so your schedule, I know you're going to be on the Ashland Plaza lighting the first light of the menorah.
Right.
On, what is that, December 14th?
14th, yeah.
But there are other celebrations throughout the valley. Tell me about them.
So we're having 3 menorah lightings,
okay.
One in Ashland, ushering in the holiday of Hanukkah, the first night of Hanukkah, 3:45 with live klezmer music. And we're having a singer from New York City is coming down for the menorah lightings. That's going to be a big deal Sunday with the senator, Jeff Golding is going to be there and other members of the community. And then Monday is going to be in Grants Pass at the Riverside Park. At the Waterfront Pavilion, that's going to be 4 p.m., and Tuesday in Medford at the Village at the Medford Center. And one of the other highlights is going to be Thursday, we're going to have a Jewish pop-up deli with authentic New York pastrami and corned beef sandwiches. Yes, that's true.
Authentic, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's going to be great. That's going to be on Thursday, December 18th from 4 to 6:30 p.m., and if people want to join, they should sign up online to our website, chabadofashland.org/deli. And finally, on Sunday, we're having this wonderful, fun children's event, it's called. It's going to be Chocolate, Kids Chocolate Factory, where they all do all these wonderful wonderful games and activities all surrounding with chocolate, making the chocolate coins and having chocolate donuts, which I didn't mention earlier on. It's another food that we eat on Hanukkah, is the donuts.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Yeah. I have one kid who doesn't like chocolate, so the rest of us love it.
Right.
So it's just more for the rest of us.
Can't go wrong with
Thank
chocolate.
You so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My guest was Avi Zweibel, director of the Chabad Jewish Center of Southern Oregon. On December 14th at 3:45 p.m., the rabbi will light the first candle on a 10-foot-tall menorah on the Ashland Plaza. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio.